Welcome back to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Voices of Our World is a weekly program dedicated to the issues of human rights and social justice.
You've got to let me know, are we human or are we dancing?
For each of us, life is a journey, and the word each is as important a concept in that statement as the word journey. But walk through any shopping mall across this country and take a passing look at any group of teens clustered together. From one person to the next, while the t-shirts and their hair color may be different, by and large, they're all wearing jeans, basically a form of uniform. They're all working to blend in with one another. Throughout human history, it has always been safer to blend in. We are often culturally predisposed to mistrust that which is different. American philosopher Richard Rorty, among his many credits, once professor of humanities at the University of Virginia, said that truth that transcends culture does not exist. While we may yearn for the objective truth, clearly, truth is filtered by each individual through his or her own personal filter. So truth will always belong to the subjective, a hostage to our own cultural boundaries. Rorty, in typical self-deprecating humor, also once stated that humanity gets much more help from poets and novelists than from philosophers. That's why he wanted to be labeled Professor of Humanities, not Philosophy. Jonathan Mooney is now a father himself, and he does not lecture or write that clinical designations such as ADA, ADHD, OCD, autism, depression, and so on are phony diagnoses, nor would he claim that medications designed to treat such conditions are never necessary. But having been there himself would simply suggest that each and every one of us is born with attributes, both positive and negative, that make us individuals. He cautions us, for the sake of our own and our children's sense of self-worth, not to allow such differences to be viewed necessarily as illness or pathological deficiencies. Let's not detract from the traditional meaning of the word special. All our children are special. And Mooney walks the walk. He co-founded Project Eye to Eye, which since 1997, in 20 chapters in 13 states, matches learning disabled students with tutors, mentors, and positive role models that give them hope and restore pride. So now let's get back to our discussion with Jonathan Mooney.
So I would say to people, people would come hear me lecture, I'm going on this short bus ride, and people would be like, why would you do that? The book begins with me in the Waldorf Astoria going to meet with a group of film producers who want to option my story of being dyslexic, of overcoming dyslexia. And I turn to them and at some point say that I'm going to, go on this journey around America to go talk to people like Kent Roberts. And this producer, big Hollywood guy from Merv Griffin Entertainment, says, "Why the hell would you do that?" Direct quote. Because the mentality is, this is a story of you overcoming your problem. It's not a story of people like Katie Bassford with Down syndrome, who has nothing to overcome in her mentality. She's fine, It's the world that's wrong.
Yeah.
You have to understand, there's a real tipping point. And I'm working right now on a book about Therapeutic America, called Sick, Adventures in Therapeutic America. When you take a medical model, which is really what the autism world is doing, you focus your energies on find the genetic roots and screen those out, and then it's cure and treatment, right? When you take a difference model, you may think about some treatments, but when you take a difference model, your core philosophy is one of accommodation. That's the real inside of the disability rights movement, that these disabilities should be treated, which really are differences, they should be treated as civil rights issues, and that institutions should be required to accommodate those differences opposed to treat those differences. But the discourse around autism and ADHD, for that matter, and in some respects mostly around learning disabilities, is a medical treatment model, and it ignores any systemic change. Dyslexia wasn't my problem. My problem was the way dyslexia was treated.
Mm.
My problem was the fact that I had to hide in the bathroom to escape reading out loud. It's very easy to just not make kids read out loud.
Right.
My problem was that I was sent to the hallway to chill out with the janitor. You know what I mean?
I do know.
That's the problem.
Right.
The problem was with how I was treated, not anything intrinsic inside of me. And it's not just me. It's all the young people out there who find themselves in that therapeutic America with labels. It's all those young people out there who find themselves remediated to death, who really deserve a world in which their differences are acknowledged as essential to being human, where their differences are empowered through mitigating weakness. Don't get me wrong. You know, I'm not, sometimes people hear me talk and they say, oh, well, you know, what you're spelling, or the fact that you had a plan for suicide, wasn't that a problem? And yet that stuff needs to be managed, but it can't define who I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a flip side of the coin around dyslexia and ADHD. One third of American entrepreneurs, front page of the New York Times business section, one third of American entrepreneurs are LD. I was told by the dean of RISD, Rhode Island School of Design, number one art school in America, that 50% of RISD was LD or ADHD.
Yeah.
You know, Robert Rauschenberg recently passed away. Robert Rauschenberg was an open, adamant dyslexic. He was adamant that his dyslexia was associated with his production as an artist. And if you know Robert Rauschenberg's work, he did these combines, which were combining letters and painting. That combine, is there any better word for dyslexia reversals? You know, he thought outside of the painting frame, you know. But again, we as a culture haven't drawn that connection that well.
Mm-hmm.
That difference actually adds value, that it's a part of what makes us human. Take Rauschenberg, for example. You know, in all of his obituaries, not once was it mentioned that he was LD. Not once. He was open about it, but no one drew that connection in our public discourse.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Jonathan Mooney. This is Voices of Our World.
Max, your son's name is?
Max. You know, I get just shivers thinking about it, because, you know, it was a long and tough journey for me. And when I started my role as a public speaker on these issues, I gave my first professional presentation 11 years ago. And when I started doing that, I thought that I would be going around America telling antiquated stories about the bad old days. And what I realized is that, if anything, it's gotten worse. You know, I was in a school 2 weeks ago in rural Pennsylvania, gave a lecture at a full high school, and got about 50 emails after the lecture about kids struggling with issues of suicide. You know, it's gone backwards. It's gone backwards. I mean, there's no way around that. You know, a lot of people say, oh, we're better at diagnosis and we're better at diagnosing.
No,
fine.
Uh-huh.
You can diagnose as many dyslexics as you want, but if you don't change the way they're treated, it doesn't do a thing. So we've gone backwards, and my son is going to enter into a system that is more regressive, in my opinion, than my system. And that terrifies me. What I would hope for him and what I would dream for him would be that he had an educational opportunity that did two things. Number one, that it validated cognitive differences and it gave him the opportunity to develop his strengths. You know, I'm a big believer in strength-based models. You know, if you look at the profiles of Fortune 500 companies, the CEOs of those companies, they've done one thing. They've all figured out a way to build a life on strength, period. You know, it's not that they fix their weaknesses. If they've done anything with their weaknesses, they've managed them, right?
Okay.
They've delegated around them. You know what I mean? They're building a life on strength, period. I mean, every consultant on success will tell you that. But we don't give young people enough opportunities to develop strength. We remediate their weaknesses, but we don't do talent development. And my hope for my son would be we have that. And secondly, my hope would be that he has an opportunity to find a sense of purpose. You know, there's a phenomenal book out there right now, and I probably am getting the title wrong, but its essence is right. It's called The Crisis of Purpose. And it's about how this generation, the millennials in some ways, are growing up without a sense of purpose. You know, a defined sense of purpose. And it goes back to that hope that I think you have for young people, which is that they have a way to value themselves. And they have a core inside of themselves that says, this is my belief system.
Mm-hmm.
This is who I am. And that sense of purpose is intrinsic to that and a part of that. And there's a crisis of purpose out there right now. Young people don't know what they're doing, why they're doing it, how their education is relevant to their adult life. Because guess what? It isn't. You know, we got to be honest with young people about that. It's part of what Bill Gates is saying. What's happening in high school is totally irrelevant to what's going to happen in your adult life. And so they spend 4 years in a purposeless environment. Literally, 4 years in an environment without a tangible sense of purpose. And that's where a lot of issues of drug abuse, it's where a lot of issues of suicidal thoughts or actions arises from. So I hope my son is given the opportunity to develop a sense of purpose. But I know as a father that both of those dreams are going to have to be fought tooth and nail for, because we don't have a system that's designed to develop strength, and we don't have a system that's designed to develop purpose.
Now I really like your mom and her brother and all the people in the book. I somehow know them now. Is everybody okay?
Everyone is. And, you know, I think we begin our conversation by saying that...
isn't that interesting that you made me care about all these people and I actually really wanted to know?
Well, thank you. I said that one of the things I was most proud of is going on the trip. And then the second thing, and frankly, it may actually trump the first thing, that I'm most proud of now is that I felt like I really honored the experiences of people. And everyone who appeared in the book reflected that to me, that they really felt respected and honored. Not that there weren't warts and all for people, but that's part of what it means to be honored, is mm-hmm. that, you know, the complexity of your human experience is allowed to live on the page. But what I was about to say is that just like it was a real blessing and a gift that these people came into my life, because I didn't know any of them except Kent to begin with, and each and every one of them is contributing to the cognitive diversity and subsequently the well-being of all humanity by just being themselves.
I can ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars. I can ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars.
So where do you fit in? Are you a normie or are you different? Tell us your story. On this or any topic, get radioactive and tell us what you think. Email us at radio@maryknoll.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us. You can call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL, MARYKNOLL, or dial 877-627-9566.
No metronome. And I can see your face on the telephone, on the telephone, on the telephone.
For all of us here at Voices of Our World, thanks for listening. Jonathan Mooney is just one of the voices of our world. I'm your host, Eileen Bott, and this show was produced by Kathy Golden. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, website, or Mary Knoll. You heard music today by Grupo Mayo, the Flowbots, and the Killers. If you enjoy this program, you may also enjoy Mary Knoll's new Spanish language show, Voces de Nuestro Mundo. Just visit our site for more information. Our website is www.voicesofourworld.org, where you can listen, learn more about today's guests and topics, answer our question, or subscribe to our podcast. Please go to www.voicesofourworld.org. To learn more about Mary Knoll, or try Mary Knoll Magazine in English or Spanish, call 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. Get radioactive and join us next time for more Voices of Our World.
Look at me, driving and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure, my cause is noble, my power is pure.